Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Now, listen, come on, Vermin. I told you from the start they're going to treat you like the Bernie Sanders of the Libertarians. There's no way they're going to let in.
No,
they're going to use your fan base to get you to boost you up, and they're going to be a bait and switch and take your fans and push them all over to whatever the nominee was going to be. And that's why Spike Cohen is in there. Now he's on Fox News every day. I said it was going to happen from the get-go. You knew it. God damn it, you didn't listen to me, Vermin.
Yeah, I know. It was seductive. I mean, it was an opportunity. And it was an opportunity that I could not take. You know, I mean, they asked me, hey, Vermin, do you want to run a serious campaign to try and do this? And I did. And it wasn't easy. It was a huge drama fest. And since that time, I get like they hate me. I have a whole Vermin hating club in the Libertarian Party where it's like, he makes us look no good. People think we are a joke. Vermin bad.
How's it going, y'all? Long time no see.
Truly, truly.
Good, good. Excellent.
Nice.
I'm just adjusting your faces a wee bit. While I'm doing that,
thank you. My face definitely needs a little adjusting. That's what my wife keeps saying.
while I do that, do you both want to give you an intro to yourselves and what you do, maybe, and plug some socials and some great stuff?
Maybe. I don't know. Are we live or are we just warming up?
Oh, we're live.
Are we on?
You're live. Live. You got 450 people watching you right now.
You mean this is the show? The show is happening as we are speaking right this very minute.
Live on air.
Holy crap! Rod, did you hear that? We're live.
Oh, holy shit. Wait, we're doing this for real, Vermin?
Wait a minute. I'm too hot. I gotta take my pants off at least.
No, don't do it again! Don't do it again, Vermin! You're doing me dirty! Okay, you got my VOD toasted last time. Fuck.
Oh right, I forgot all about that.
At least wait until the end.
Wait. Is that why I couldn't find that episode? Because my wiener was showing or something?
No, you put what you call tasteful pony erotica on stream. And you're like, it is but the most tasteful pony erotica you'll see. But it was definitely a little beyond what Twitch allows on their platform on a regular basis. So,
oh, I did not know that. It's good to know.
Yes, it's wonderful to see you both. By the way, you're both radiant and glowing. I enjoy the background for everyone, especially. It looks like you're in the middle of a party.
I'm radioactive, and that's why I'm glowing so much.
Nice.
I feel like I'm underdressed.
You are unaddressed. Let me address you, Rod. Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, what's well, Vermin, how was the movie that we made?
Well, once again, when I was looking for somebody to make a live adaptation of iPony, Blueprint for a New America, I knew that Rod Weber was just the individual to translate this book of fiction into a real world story. And that, in 2020, The Dumpster Fire, once again, out available now on iTunes and Apple and some of the other ones, Google, right? Do people watch that? I don't know. But anyway, short money. It's an awesome movie. If you love the book, you will love the movie. It's one of those times where the movie is actually better than the book. Or am I right?
Clean up your room.
Yes.
I'm going to start by saying, do you want to quickly just plug the movie? Tell everyone what The Dumpster Fire is. I'm sure there's a lot of questions.
All right. Who's taking this, Vermin?
Well, once again, I would like to warm up the crowd that may or may not be familiar with you or your work. But Rod is a longtime collaborator of mine, or I with he. It's hard to tell at this point who's collaborating with who. I guess when you have a collaboration, it's with each other. But Rod is a filmmaker, some might say a compulsive filmmaker, a man who is driven to make films and make movies. And ever since I've known him, he has been involved in creating movies and films. And it's a wonderful thing that he does. It's a crazy hobby and habit and something, an addiction, if you will, an addiction, making these films. And, of course, I guess, I guess we could rattle off a few of those movies. I mean, yes, when I first became aware of Rod, he had made a documentary on Tiny the Terrible, who was a little person wrestler of African-American descent, as if that makes any difference. But he had an amazing hook, and he was running for mayor of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And Rod followed him on this crazy journey of his candidacy for mayor of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. He did a couple. Rod made several sequels to that movie. I guess ultimately it was a trilogy based on the insane, crazy adventures that this particular character got himself involved in. What year was that, Rod?
I started filming in 2004. We released A Man Among Giants in 2008. 2009 was American Psych Ward. And in 2012 and 2013, we filmed The World According to Tiny, about his quote-unquote ghetto-altered superheroes. That is still, as of yet, unreleased. As the 2016 election came along, and I got involved with these Hollywood types that wanted to help me with the distribution of my films. Nathan Oliver, our wonderful producer / salesperson, who's now on us with This Is Vermin Supreme and Flowers for Peace and 2020 The Dumpster Fire.
So, well, I was going to get to those other movies in the lead up in your intro, of course. And then right around what 2016 or so, I guess. Rod Weber, who's not only a filmmaker, but he is a performance artist in his own right, if he accepts that terminology. I mean, a lot of people, like labels, and that's a label that I think is thrown his way. But he is a political performance artist, and he took my advice. I think that's fair to say about the New Hampshire primary, and what an amazing, spectacular opportunity it is to screw with politicians back in 2016. And Rod ran a campaign for the presidency of America as a flower man. And he was very well known. He was Vine famous. And he would give flowers to the various candidates and ask them to pray for world peace. And it was a great shtick. It was a great bit. Like I say, the New Hampshire primary, which is where I became sort of famous, is such a ripe opportunity for any, it's a canvas, if you will, because it is the New Hampshire primary. It's the smallest state in the union. It's the first primary state, and media from all around the world comes there, and every last damn candidate who's ever running for president shows up there. And so I have used that to my advantage over the years, and Rod decided to do that also in a very exciting and affecting way. And of course, it was all good fun and laughs until it turned bad, and until he crossed the path of Mr. Donald Trump, whose goon squad treated him very violently and unwelcomely. And that turned into a whole nother parallel lawsuit, which isn't a movie because it would probably be a pretty boring movie if it was. It would just be Rod filing legal papers. But nonetheless, be that as it may, shortly after the Flowers for Peace movie, and then he went out to North Dakota to the Standing Rock protest and encampment, and made another documentary, The War of North Dakota. Yes, The War in North Dakota. The War of North Dakota, which was another amazing movie, an amazing document. Because of course, Rod is not just a filmmaker; he's sort of a journalist of some sort. I mean, I don't know if he takes the term, but, he does document, documentarian. And so he was out there and he made that documentary. And then when he was cutting those movies together, he realized that he had a huge folder of Vermin Supreme cuts, because we traveled the same circles. We were in the same places at the same time doing similar things. And that turned into a movie called This Is Vermin Supreme, which is available on Vimeo. You can watch that right now if you wanted to. And then it's a great movie. It's the best movie. If you love documentaries that feature Vermin Supreme, it is definitely one of the best. Totally
like the third.
Like, the third best, like the third best Vermin movie. what's can you give us a tantalizing sample of something that is revealed in the documentary?
Vermin has an argument with Sean Astin, the most famous of the Hobbits, at the Rhode Island Comic Con in 2016. During that argument, Sean Astin reveals that, much like Vermin, he is an anarchist.
Whoa. Wow, yes. I had no idea. That's amazing. Because
it's not true. He's a Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, he but nonetheless, Mr. Sean Astin was played along with us to the point. He was sort of a little bit enamored with me that he read dialogue that yep. I had prepared, and we used it in the film without his explicit permission, and it's really great. I mean, he's saying stuff like,
wait, hold on, Vermin. We did let him know that we were filming. You did give him a script. We had permission for that. He just didn't know that I was going to put us into outer space, a little spaceship.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a great movie because it's sort of the prequel to 2020, The Dumpster Fire, sort of, but not really. Sort of. I
believe you would say that the 2020, The Dumpster Fire is the sequel to This is Vermin Supreme and Flowers for Peace, which are concurrent storylines. The first one being Rod with Vermin as a sidekick and the second one being Vermin with Rod as a sidekick or Flower Man, I should say.
While they're not like canonically connected, is there a spiritual trilogy of sorts between these three films?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say yes. I mean, it's almost a quadrilogy of films if you want to include this.
In fact, one of the things that we are hoping to pitch to our distributor is the concept of the Political Outsiders series. Much like Tiger Man, this would be the Tiger Man of outsider wackadoodle politicians, starting from the Tiny the Terrible movies and Vermin's movies directed by Vic David. You've got Vote Jesus. You've got Vermin's movie with Steve, directed by Steve Ondrick, called Who is Vermin Supreme? And obviously, This is Vermin Supreme. My film is kind of a response to that. All in total, I believe there's 11 of them, because Steve's actually working on a new one called The Church of Euthanasia, about Vermin's fake cult in the 1990s, performance art group.
I'll say this.
And now he's doing the Macarena.
This is the first time I've actually had two presidential candidates on my show before. So maybe you could explain to me a little bit about what it is to be both the Flower Guy and Vermin Supreme, and how wackadoodle politics works for anyone who doesn't quite understand.
I would say that it's based on a moral conviction that there is no attempting to win in this motherfucker. Winning is simply going out there and calling out power, going to the politicians and saying to them, listen, you don't have any clothes on. I saw what you did there. Whether it be Joe Biden, Donald Trump or any of these people, time and time and time again, it's the act of presenting something weird, which makes them react in a way that's more truthful than any standard journalist could evoke. I think that was the big thing that I learned from Vermin, seeing him do it before myself, because initially, as I said, in the films with Tiny, I was simply behind the camera. I view myself as an artist, and I certainly did my share of performance art back in the day. But it wasn't really until I saw how goddamn easy it was just to walk out to the New Hampshire primaries and say, hey, now I'm at a Jeb Bush rally. Hey, I'm going to work my way into this, and I'm going to get this guy to invite me onto stage at 24 rallies praying for peace. I mean, like of all the weird things that I could have gotten to happen, I just couldn't have imagined that kind of shit would happen. And then, of course, one of my heroes, Vermin right here, joined along with me. And, I think it's been a wonderful ride.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, once again, of course, you know, a fringe candidacy, you know, the beautiful thing about America, as I pointed out last time, was, you know, anybody can run for president. And it's a very simple thing to do. All you have to do is say, I'm running for president. And it becomes this self-declarative fact. And nobody can dispute that fact because you said you are and therefore you are, especially if you are. And, you know, you don't have to get the votes. You don't have to get money. You don't have to campaign, really. But you can. And if you have a hook and you have something to say, and I and Rod have found that, you know, satire and humor and satirical presentations and absurdism are a really solid hook that really captures people's imagination. It captures their attention. And they can't really deny it. They can't look away from it. And especially when you allow yourself to insert yourself into these situations, portraying a character or a lunatic or simply a disgruntled individual. And of course, it's different than your standard bird dogging, because of course, during the New Hampshire primaries and others, you know, it's a whole hobby. A lot of people get together and they go ask questions, and they call that bird dogging. But if you can up the ante and really have a full-on presentation that brings it into a whole nother level, a whole nother dimension, you know, it's very hard to ignore, and oftentimes it breaks through that that barrier, the media barrier, and will get picked up. So, yeah, I find it's a very effective communication strategy. For me, of course, it's the rubber boot. it's a magical boot. You know, it's amplified my free speech millions of times and allowed me to communicate with people all over the world. And if you were to just say that, you know, if I did not have the boot, if I was just a regular dude wearing a regular suit on the street corner talking about this or that, it just would have the impact, whereas we have found a way to impact.
And, you know, I would say that these elections, I mean, they're really a year and a half long, 24/7 moving theater production. We're just there to hijack their bullshit, whether it be song and dance numbers or literally with puppets. One of the big ones during 2016, John Kasich was so shameless. You remember John Kasich, the governor of Ohio? He spent so much time sucking up to a puppet, a literal puppet named Triumph the Insult Comedy Dog. And, oh, my God, got to know Robert Smigel, the guy who voices it and does the puppet, and work my way into the Kasich rallies through Smigel and the puppet dog, at which point he started inviting me on stage to play David Bowie songs on guitar, which was, you know, it was a whole other level of weird beyond the Jeb Bush thing. I know that, you know, Vermin had a lot of success with John McCain, who seemed to be partial to my song and dance and the flowers. Lindsey Graham took a shining to it. And then finally, there was Rick Santorum. Oh, God, the Rick Santorum stuff was great, of which I think at this point, I'm going to leave it off with Vermin on that one. Tell us about Rick, would you?
Well, I've had a fun time with Rick throughout the years, in fact, throughout the years. Back when I made the Vote Jesus movie in 2008, I was presenting myself as Ken Stevenson, who was a right-wing fundamentalist presidential candidate who was against sodomy, an anti-sodomite. And I met Rick.
Was it a one-platform campaign? Like, did you have one thing that you talked about? It was just sodomy?
Pretty much. Pretty much, yes.
That was my main I'm a one-issue candidate, okay?
That is not
If
true.
You're against sodomy, you voted for me. And so I had an encounter with Rick Santorum where I played a clueless, where my character was clueless, and I asked him, Mr. Santorum, some of my secular friends tell me that you don't like men with dogs. And, of course, referencing his famous dog-fucking, equating gay sex with dog fuck. And he did this beautiful dance around it, which was like, oh, no, I think pets are beautiful. I think men should have pets. I myself have a golden retriever. And it was a really funny thing because he just deflected and didn't address the real situation at hand.
That's hilarious.
During 2012 and occupied the primary. We had a wonderful time with Rick, and we had all the occupiers, Occupy Wall Streeters out there, and Rick Santorum's election space that he had too small. It got too crowded. The fire marshal got called in, and so he chased every. They moved it all outside to where he was surrounded by protesters, and so we just got to heckle him throughout his event. At one point, he wasn't prepared to speak. He had no amplification, and so one of his campaign staff wanted to borrow my megaphone. And so I took the guy's car keys. I lent him my megaphone. I was afraid I'd never see it again. And it passed all the way up. And Rick Santorum picked up my bullhorn. He looked at it. He saw that it had a sticker that, bold as day, said Vermin Supreme on it. And wisely declined. It was one of the top 10 missed photo opportunities. And I think it was at that event that I asked him to marry me. And, and like that. But then we had a callback, because callbacks are a great thing in comedy. And sometimes you just have to wait 4 years for that callback. And so in 2016, we were at the Cleveland Republican National Convention. We had been working hard, just doing all sorts of crazy shit in that environment. And late one night, wandering out of the convention center after everybody else, there he was. Rick Santorum. And
my boy.
And it was like nobody was on the street. It was him, maybe two other people, this woman who was extremely unthrilled with us. And we just started hugging on him. And I started like taunting him about like me beating him in New Hampshire because I got more votes than him and shit. And Rod was all over him. And Rod, I forgot you're throwing flowers at his feet. That was in 2016 also.
Yeah, so right prior to that, I had pulled a bunch of slip and dip actions with Mike Huckabee and Santorum, and I had just gone to this rally of his in this very small room. They have this Irish pub in Iowa that everyone goes to, and I stood in the back with the top hat and the flowers in my beard, and was absolutely freaking everyone out. They're trying to push me out the door. My tactic at that time was simply to play along nicely to whatever they were doing. I was not trying to be disruptive in any sort of way. Waited till the very end, and he starts giving this speech about when we go to Washington, they're not going to throw flowers at your feet. To which it seemed like it was a cue. I threw the bouquet of flowers. It fell to his feet. All his little fans clapped, and he was morbidly embarrassed because he did not intend for this to happen, and they thought that this was all of a sudden some kind of thing written into the script. So when Rick stumbled out of the convention center in Cleveland with Vermin and I, it was that perfect turnaround where not only did Vermin get to get him for part two, so did I. There was this what was there wasn't there there was this chocolate candy store down the street, and somehow you were working that into a metaphor about the chocolate and the Santorum, and I don't know, it was just a good time all around.
He was at our mercy. I mean, we owned him. We had rented out Rick Santorum for about 10-minute walk. We just walked with him. And then as he was leaving, I just shouted out, "Rick Santorum, save us! Oh my God, look over there! Men are fucking dogs! Save us!"
I love so much fun. I love how you're just like fucking with Rick Santorum professionally.
Oh fuck, yeah. That was a good time.
Are you both going to be employing any of these, let's just say, advanced techniques in the 2022 midterms coming up?
I don't want to ruin any surprises with Vermin,
They're in the
you
works.
Never know. Andy Ngo, you know who Andy Ngo is, right?
Oh, yes.
Andy Ngo is appearing at a rally in New Hampshire tomorrow night. And what? I don't know if I will be bringing any Santorum with me, but I definitely think we're gonna have some fun with them. I'll tell you that much. I don't know if that's part of an election, but it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's exciting!
I hear he likes milkshakes.
He does?
Hey, there you go, milkshakes.
That's awesome. Where can we find this interview?
With Santorum?
No, the upcoming one. If you wanted to watch it tomorrow. Or is it going to be up on like one of your channels in the next day or two?
I assume that I'll just post it on my Twitter, my Facebook, YouTube, all the usual ones. It's Rod Weber, as in Roderick, not to be confused with Robert, like R-O-D-W-E-B-B-E-R. I don't know. I guess we have Dumpster Fire Film. I might post it up there as well.
He ripped off some of your footage, didn't he?
Oh, has he used your footage without consent on Twitter before?
Yeah, Andy. No, there was this big thing back during the Chaz and the Chop and the protest in Portland, Oregon. So if you remember, there was something like 100+ days and nights of protesting that was going there in Portland. But one of the things that I wanted to convey to the average person who wasn't able to be there, the average person that only, or and especially the ones that only see Fox News and the fires and the smashing and all of this stuff, I wanted to point out that during the daytime, it was absolute peace. All through the baseball park that was nearby and the courthouse where the protests primarily took place, there was families, women and children and dogs and cats living together. They had this thing called Riot Ribs. There was something, I believe they had, I think, 18 grills, and they'd give out free food to everyone. A virtual anarchist utopia. I mean, in the Peter Kropotkin sort of way, not in the Mad Max way. But at night after night, the feds would come out of the courthouse and they would give the order to disperse. So this is what would cause the protesting. So the protesters there were effectively just protesting for their right to protest. And your average person just didn't see this. But so on one of these days, there was a group of African-American women with toddlers, ages maybe 2 to 4, that had signs with them saying, "Fuck the police." And it was the most beautiful thing that I'd seen. I wasn't specifically setting out to make a video of this. It was I talked to them for under 30 seconds, just saying hello. And it was part of a larger live stream of me showing the peaceful environment that was there. I didn't think anything of it, but I found out I think it was a couple months later. I didn't even know about it, but Andy Ngo had taken this footage and posted it as his own, one of his sock accounts called Britney 31, which he then used to sell to Laura Ingraham at Ingraham Angle. And so this was pointed out to me a couple months later caused quite a kerfuffle. And so I reached out to the producers at their show and, basically sent them to some links for my Trump lawsuit showed them that I am a jailhouse lawyer of sorts. I am not barred by the American Bar Association, but I ran a successful lawsuit against Donald Trump in which he was forced to pay me $20,000 and the Manchester police gave me $15,000 for a total of $35,000. So this is something that they understand. And they very quickly got on the phone with me when I throughout this litigious talk, basically verifying that Andy Ngo had been the thief of this material. Unfortunately, at that time, I was balls deep in the Trump lawsuit. I made the choice. I had, knowing that lawsuits are essentially a gentleman's agreement to decide how much money it is to do a crime. I knew that was the only thing that was going to come of this in the end. So I could actually put forward the lawsuit and maybe they give me $100,000 or whatever it is. Or I could take their piddly settlement, which was $5,000, and use that to continue the lawsuit against Trump. And, that strategy was successful in that then I did have the funds to keep going. I because as you might see, we are not a massive film company here, it's not an easy task to fight against. A couple dozen. Trump literally had a couple dozen lawyers, close. I think it was 24 at the peak, going against little old me.
Can you explain why? What's the origins of that?
Try to bury me in paperwork.
Can you explain what the origins of that was? Like why was Trump going after you? Does it stem back to that viral video of you being at a rally and giving him the Bible quote?
Yes. But it was, so what happened is, I was at this, Rochester, New Hampshire rally, and, he was not the presumptive nominee at this time. He was, basically, working on his stand-up comedy routine, and he would run out of material, relatively quickly. And at this stage, after talking for about 20 minutes, he's like, "Hey, does anyone have anything you want to talk about?" And people were just throwing out ideas. And so I shouted out Bible verse. And he said, "Hey, you know, what's your favorite one?" And there was a woman going around with a microphone, but and which I was trying to wait for. And he says, just shout it out. So it gave this look on the television like I was interrupting it. CNN said that I'd interrupted his rally, and it's just not true. He had asked me to say this Bible quote, which was 1 Timothy 3:1-7. It's noble to seek the office of overseer, but he who does should be above reproach, sober-minded, not quarrelsome, marital, and wants not a lover of money. What sayest thou, Mr. Trump? To which he responded, "Oh boy, am I in trouble. Oh boy, am I in trouble." And the crowd booed. And I got to say to myself, what kind of Christians would boo the Bible if this ostensibly what you Trumpers claim to be? Mm-hmm. So they roughed me up afterwards. And at a
they being Trump supporters roughed you up afterwards?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was early on before getting roughed up at Trump rallies was a thing. I was a little bit surprised by it. I got through it and decided to go to this other event a week later called No Labels Problem Solvers, which was supposed to be this nonpartisan think tank, which in reality was just kind of pushing forward neo-lib, neo-con, the bullshit put forward by Joe Lieberman and friends. But across the spectrum, you had like Bernie Sanders was there, Chris Christie, and, Trump was one of the speakers. And so I got a spot up at the front, and they were having all kinds of microphone problems. And they literally had this this kid in a superhero suit running around with a cape. Called No Labels Man and trying to get, and it's just the microphones weren't working. There was all kinds of problems on a technical level. And so once again, as Trump was wrapping up his speech, there was a scheduled Q&A, and the Q&A mic wasn't working. And since I was 5 feet away from him, I just stood up like a proper journalist, raised my hand and said, "I was roughed up at your previous rally in Rochester. Can you speak to that?" And right as he's responding, someone plugged in the mic and there was a lot of noise. And I didn't quite hear his quip, which was, "You look healthy to me." All I heard was laughter. And then an FBI guy tapped me on the shoulder, which turned out to be his head of security, Edward Deck. And he said that I needed to go down to the back to get the microphone. So I played along kind of knowing that he was bullshitting me, went to the back and there's no microphone. So I turned around and go back to my seat and they made a wall, a wall of Trumpers. And they said, I needed to go. And I said, "This isn't your rally. Who do you work for? What's your authority, et cetera, that kind of stuff." So I stood my ground as the Republicans tell you to do. they ended up calling over an off-duty cop who's in uniform, which is a weird one. So he's acting under color of law. I'm not going to bore you with all the legal things, but long story short, he grabbed me from behind and Edward Jack joined in. So when he did that, it's called acting under color of law, which means that he and the Donald Trump campaign and any of the associated people are responsible via something called respondeat superior, which is just, to respond to the superior. And so they took me outside, they detained me, then released me. I tried to press charges. And when I did that, they performed a retaliatory arrest. And then so I spent like the next 3 years as I'm doing all this other stuff, just trying to find a lawyer. And when I couldn't find one, I just decided to learn how to become one myself and filed the lawsuit and beat his ass.
Wow. And you know what's wild about all this is I don't think this is a story that a lot of people know. How did that get turned into the movie, and how did that subsequently start the process of the movie maybe getting canceled as well?
That was something that I'd been working into the presidential campaign, even going back to 2016. You conceive actually Steve Ondrick, who's the director of the other Vermin movie, was there to film me getting turned down by the Secretary of State there. And it was just kind of one of those talking points where I would, say to the various people on the campaign trail that we don't have a real democracy. If not everyone can run, then, what is this thing? What is this experiment that we're doing here? Is this the grand democracy? Is this, the future that we want to work towards? And so I guess by the time 2020 rolled around, I was doing similar things, except this time I in a rush, I put on this silver helmet, wanting to evoke this spaceman vibe when I went to go file, to get on the register in November of 2019. And the meme that was going around at the time was Epstein didn't kill himself. And so I just painted that on a sign and showed up and called myself Epstein didn't kill himself, Weber, just to fuck with them. So obviously that went viral. And then I sort of became known as Epstein didn't kill himself, Weber. And when they asked about the helmet, I said that, I was wearing it to protect myself from all you bad motherfuckers. I don't know what these Epstein people are going to do anymore, which kind of then turned into this thing where I was actually. So I also do visual art and painting. I'd been invited to this art show at Art Basel, Miami, or actually a satellite fair. And that's when there was this guy who duct taped a banana to the wall. His name is Mauricio Catalan, and this other artist, David DeTuna, ate the banana off the wall, and it was just no one could stop talking about the damn thing all week. And so once he ate it, knowing a little bit about the law, I knew that they had actually set precedent. And so there's a thing called the Five Points case in Brooklyn, where actually these graffiti artists sued the owner of this building for removing their graffiti without checking with them. So I did a little research and decided to go and do this this performance art stunt, if you want to call it that, and that led to much more shenanigans and silliness. And of course, at a certain point, Vermin and some of his friends joined in on this. Especially Babs, who's on the Team Supreme, would go around with my Epstein didn't kill himself sign. And I ended up just going to a lot of Trump rallies, and I would tell them, hey, you know what? I'm running for president as Epstein didn't kill himself, Weber, not because I dislike President Trump. I do love President Trump deeply. But in order to get Mike Pence out of there, I have to run. And what would you think about just writing me in as vice president, and we'll get Mike Pence out of there? And almost across the board, these Trumpers applauded this troll that I had participated in for a number of months. And it became another. Let's say the campaigns evolve. Vermin didn't start out with free ponies for all or mandatory dentistry. I'm sure he can tell you more about the evolution of these things. But with me, it was a spontaneous thing. I put on the helmet. It was a spontaneous thing. That was the meme of the day. And if 2022 comes around for some kind of gubernatorial race or whatever it may be next time, we'll just roll with whatever it is. The first half of the movie it's very tongue in cheek. It's lighthearted. It's to make people laugh. It's to make people think. And then, there was the George Floyd stuff, and the second half is pretty fucking dark. And it's a lot of coverage of, the rallies, which is where, the thing with Andy Ngo happened, to bring it all back in time.
The callback.
Yes.
No, it's a great movie. I saw the movie. It's a really good movie. You should definitely check out this movie, man. It's called 2020, The Dumpster Fire. And it's like all about it, man. It is about Rod Weber, like getting people's panties in a bunch, if I can say that. I don't mean that in a misogynic way or anything like that. No. Anyway, can I just wanted to say right now that I'm smoking out of the glass vermin pipe.
That's fucking amazing. And who makes those?
Go to verminsupreme.com/shop. I just wanted to say that right now. verminsupreme.com/shop. That's all. And I'll plug more later. But yeah, but 2020, the dumpster fire. What's the URL? That's 2020, the dumpster fire film.
No. There's no 2020. It's just dumpsterfirefilm.com.
Okay. There's a lot of good products here. I see there's pipes and shirts. I'll grab some of these shirts for sure. Hey everyone, I've got the vermin pipe on camera right now.
I designed the bumper sticker.
Oh yeah. Rod made the official Vermin Supreme head logo for the 2020 campaign. It was very pointy and very popular.
My other car is a pony.
Technically, it was the original poster art for the 2016 film, which was co-opted by the 2020 campaign. But what do I know?
That's fair. That's fair. That's what being a meme is all about, stealing people's art, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's, kind of what I was doing with the banana. One of the things that I learned from Vermin, and I would like to pass on to the younger generations, because we need more people that are thinking like the Yippies, the Merry Pranksters, who go out there and do this stuff in real life and in person. One of the things that, and God bless all the Gen Z that goes out there and they weaponize TikTok and they're able to shut down a Donald Trump rally or make him look foolish or whatever it may be. But there's nothing more satisfying than going out with that acoustic guitar and serenading Joe Biden, singing Joe Biden wrote the Patriot Act, and knowing that he can't do anything about it. He's stuck there and he's forced to have to deal with me singing in his face, Joe Biden, like just at the top of my lungs, like Tom Waits or something. It's just full of lots of silly ass little things like that. You can see him on my Twitter. You can see him. I think some of them are over on Vermin's page too. I know Desiree Lindsay, who's managing his campaign. I know started up a new Vermin YouTube channel.
That's right. There's a Vermin Supreme YouTube channel, and I will also plug my weekly. It's not a show, it's not a podcast, but every Saturday at noon, I do High Noon with Vermin Supreme. And essentially it's me talking to the camera, talking to the viewers, and smoking weed. So nice. If you like weed and you're not doing anything on 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, I'm there every Saturday for you, okay? That's on my YouTube channel. But I'm thinking I might switch over to Twitch. I might be one of those Twitch affiliates. Because I don't know. Why not?
Awesome. I think you should start that immediately and let me know. And then we can raid into your Twitch stream and bring everyone over there.
Oh, absolutely. I've done a few shows because I don't know if you know this or not, but recently I celebrated my 10-year meme anniversary. I have been a meme 10 whole years.
Congratulations.
December 19th was the date that I dumped glitter on Randall Terry and became internet famous. That was it. So I did a whole week of programming revolving around the 10-year anniversary, and I had invited every day for a week a documentarian who had documented my work somewhere during the last 30 years. And it was a pretty amazing week of programming. And I think that's up there. And I think we're called Real Vermin Supreme.
That's amazing. It's wild. It's wild to think that I saw that meme like I guess a decade ago. Because I remember when it was being circulated.
And we talked all about the movie, just sort of like this, but different.
That's awesome. People are asking, what is your YouTube? It's youtube.com/Vermin Supreme, I assume,
what
right?
What is that?
Your YouTube is youtube.com/Vermin Supreme.
I guess.
That's probably a good guess.
No, that doesn't work. I'll find
this
it.
This thing on.
I'm also on Twitter.
I think you're Real Vermin Supreme on TikTok, which is a fun little channel there. We started to post some things.
Yeah. It was funny. We didn't even know about TikTok. The only thing us old people knew about TikTok was it was a Chinese information harvesting scam. And then I found out it's like, Vermin, you're famous on TikTok. There's like a million hashtags, and I'm like, what, really? And it's like, oh, okay, guess we better get, and that's why you have to, that's why I was real Vermin Supreme, because somebody stole my name, Vermin Supreme. I don't know who these people are who use my name, but it's weird, right?
Yep, and you've got President Vermin Supreme on Instagram, or Vermin Supreme President, something like that.
Oh, yeah, I went re-viral, I guess, recently. I love Vermin Supreme. I think that's a TikTok channel, and I think they rehashed that whole greatest hits with the glitter bombing, and it went viral again. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, let me say that.
That's amazing. Do you think you'll ever run for president again?
It's sort of stupid not to. I mean, I've got such recognition. It's what brings. I mean, that is my bread and butter publicity stunt every 4 years. It's one of the beautiful things about it is that it's like do it and then you got several years off. But in the meantime, you have a whole nother generation of kids coming up. So it's like my audience is replenished every 4 years. And because I've been doing it so long, it's gotten to the point where I will parents will tell me that their children, their teenage or children, are discovering Vermin Supreme completely on their own. And that's just pretty tricky.
I believe the word you're looking for is indoctrinated.
Yes, for sure. And of course, I was able to parlay this crazy internet nonsense and meminess into that legitimate sort of real run for the Libertarian Party nomination in 2020, and that was a pretty crazy and dare I say ballsy thing to attempt to convince them that it was such a good idea.
La 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 la.
But let's talk.
I don't remember that part. That part is not in the movie. I don't know what Vermin just said.
Right.
We'll skip over that. I only know Vermin from his satirical campaigns.
Of course. And in a perfect world, that's the way it is. But I was trying to sell that, it'll work. This will work. No, you should really let it. And like, so close. So funny.
Now, listen, come on, Vermin. I told you from the start they're going to treat you like the Bernie Sanders of the Libertarians. There is no way they're going to let in.
No,
they're going to use your fan base to get you to boost you up, and they're going to be a bait and switch and take your fans and push them all over to whatever the nominee was going to be. And that's why Spike Cohen is in there, and now he's on Fox News every day. I said it was going to happen from the get-go. You knew it. God damn it, you didn't listen to me, Vermin.
Yeah, I know. It was seductive. I mean, it was an opportunity, and it was an opportunity that I could not take. I mean, they asked me, "Hey, Vermin, do you want to run a serious campaign to try and do this?" And I did, and it wasn't easy. It was a huge drama fest. And since that time, I get like they hate me. I have a whole Vermin hating club. In the Libertarian Party, where it's like, he makes us look no good. People think we are a joke. Vermin bad. and they drag me and they dunk me and they trash talk me on the Twitters mainly. And it's, when it's one or two people hating you, I mean, okay. I mean, Rod has always gotten a lot of hate. People hating on Rod for years. But I wasn't really used to it, and it took this endeavor to really unleash a lot of assholes in my direction. So it's a weird feeling. I'll probably do it again just because it annoys them so much at this point.
Nice. I think so. One of my favorite tweets was the one that said, "Vermin Supreme is the best thing that's ever happened to the Libertarian Party. Too bad it's come at the expense of Vermin Supreme's reputation."
Oh yes. No, there was that side of it too. I made a calculation, and at the time, I believe that I had a lot of political capital that I was willing to burn. And I did. I burned it in a fucking dumpster fire. And now I got no more political capital, pretty much. I'm broke on the political capital. So if you want to donate to my political capital fund, please go to cameo.com/Vermin Supreme. Because nothing says I love you, Valentine, like a cameo greeting from Vermin Supreme. cameo.com/Vermin Supreme. All proceeds to the Vermin Supreme Institute. For real.
That's amazing.
And speaking of the dumpster fire, if since I think we only got 10 minutes left here, there was the thing that happened after the filming of the movie. You asked me a little bit there, and I don't think I answered it so well about the FBI investigations and all these things that are happening. If I could, I'd like to just touch upon that. So for those who are just finding their way into the Verminverse here, the little universe that we've created, there has been plenty of fun and games, for sure. There's free ponies, mandatory dentistry, and all those things. Mm-hmm. But along the way, as Vermin says, because he's got the boot on his head, somehow gets treated as an elder statesman who's in charge of things. He's able to deflect people. It's some kind of a magic wand of sorts. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm the man with the camera, and for whatever reason, I become a magnet for the police and FBI and all these various agencies. So even going back to the 2016 campaign, my film crew and I were raided at the RNC, which actually was precipitated by Alex Jones, or at least he had a part in it. And so what had happened was there was a number of us who had gathered in Public Square, which is the actual name of the public square in Cleveland. You'd see people like Jesse Waters from Fox News and other various lunatics shoving microphones in your face. And I saw from across the way, my God, it's him. It's Alex Jones in the flesh. My God. He comes out and he starts shouting, "Oh, yeah, 1776. We're not going to let Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Black Lives Matter co-opt our country." And, he's, shouting this kind of nonsense. And obviously there's the folks with the red and black flags. You got Dan Combs and the anarchists, the full-on communists, basically getting very close to them. But they were smart enough not to attack Alex in any sort of way. And Alex at one point decided, my God, this PSYOP isn't going the way that it was supposed to. I thought I was going to create some kind of a conflict with these lefty anarchists. So he did this kind of a football move where he lunged at him with his shoulder. The anarchist just stepped back and he fell to the ground. And a pig pile ensued, at which point the police came in and he got what he wanted. You may actually remember one of the live streams, a clip that's always pulled out during that. He says, "Oh, these communists are really something else." That comes from that event that day where he's speaking in a minor way favorably of communists. So you'll notice
that we got credit for that in the press, didn't we, Rod?
We did. Now, Vermin wasn't even at that one, but Vermin and I were credited for starting the Alex Jones riot in I think it was the New York Daily News. And so, again, it's just, me always getting in trouble. And Alex Jones goes on his live stream and he says, you wouldn't believe this. There were anarchists everywhere throwing fists and punches, buckets of urine and feces. You can't make this shit up, people. You can't make it up. Well, no, you're actually literally making it up, Alex, literally making it up. So the next morning we hear a rap, 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 a rapping on the door, and it's the FBI. So I set up GoPros all around the house, and I caught the entire thing happening. We told them under no circumstances are you giving permission to come in. And they went and came in. We recorded them saying they didn't have a warrant, and yet there they were. This led to kind of a long relationship, if you even want to call it that, with the FBI, where actually at the end of that one, they even admitted that they were there because of Alex Jones. They said it was specifically because of that. And you can actually see on the Joe Rogan podcast, directly after that. And I have the minute number if anyone wants that, I'll send it to you later, where Jones talks about working with the police and the Secret Service at the RNC and alludes to these events. So he does talk about it at later points. But point being is that throughout the years, 2017, these right wingers attempted to get me swatted by
They published my name as one of the speakers at this thing called the Boston Free Speech Rally, which was a closet fascist rally with Gavin McInnes and Joe Biggs and people like that. And like, so everyone's yelling at me, what the fuck are you doing? You're going to talk at this fash rally? What are you fucking talking about? And I discovered there my name was on the roster. And as a result of it, all over 4chan, they were not only saying that, you know, I was an Antifa F-A-G-G-O-T and things like this. They were saying that I was going to come with B-O-M-B. I don't know what things get like your channel taken down. This is why.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Spelling
Thank
it
you.
Like a child. I don't know because, it makes me very nervous when these things kind of happen. And I've been watching a little bit of you following the Tim Pool saga there with his swatting. And the difference being is I get this fucking shit on camera. The fact that Tim is not showing any videos with this makes all of this highly suspect. We watched the little video today of the person that showed up at this second attempted swatting, and Jesus fucking Christ, get the fuck out of here, Tim.
Oh, is the video out? Because the one I was watching, he was like, I'm not releasing the video. I don't want to show anybody.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, clearly he's full of shit. I mean, the craziest thing I noticed is that, you know, he's got this Libby Emmons on there, like, you know, a ton of times. And, you know, in that broadcast, about halfway through, James O'Keefe starts ranting about Charles Murray, like in favor of him. Mm-hmm. But this Libby character, I looked her up, and she's the author and I guess the actress in this thing called How to Sell Your Gang Rape Baby for Parts. I don't know if you know anything about this.
Baby. No, I
yes,
don't.
Look oh. shit up.
Okay.
This is the craziest fucking thing. So, like, the basic synopsis is that, you know, there's a couple of women, and one of them is a Trump supporter, and, you know, they don't want to have an abortion. And so I guess they were gang raped by the football team, and they can't sell the baby to proper Christians because it's not an all white football team. And so they have to end up selling it for I guess Joe Rogan's Super Male Vitality, some kind of fetus parts. Oh, which is another great scene. Speaking of 2020, the dumpster fire with Caitlin Bennett of InfoWars. Vermin and I got into this thing with her. She had initially approached me, and she's trolling me. I'm trolling her back. She's asking, what's one positive thing about Donald Trump? I say, well, he's made for a wonderful place for ferrets to live on his head. And then we got into kind of a talk about taking the fetuses from Trump and giving them to Joe Rogan for super male vitality. And then I summoned Vermin, who's across the way, when I got tired of toying with her. And Vermin says... Oh, I don't know. I can't hear Vermin, but...
I think I just...
He laid you up for that, and then it was just like her silence.
So,
hey, gun girl, where's your gun? Yeah.
But then, so Ben Bergquam of like America's Voice Media, one of those right wingers, who's by the way making these COVID videos. Oh, woe is me. He comes over and asks Vermin if he loves President Trump, and Vermin responds, "Oh, more than life itself.
So much,
I want to suck Trump's cock. Does everyone want to suck Trump's cock?" And he gets all the little Trumpkins out there to start chanting, "Suck Trump's cock, suck Trump's cock." Oh my God, one of my I think it's in the trailer there. You probably showed it to people.
I know I'm getting pretty close to the hour, but I have had a overpouring of questions for the two of you. I was wondering if I could ask a few of the questions from the audience, and if you could try and answer them in 1 minute or less, if it's easy that way. Because I gotta get through a lot of them. A lot of people are like, hey, you gotta ask them this, ask them that, you know. So is that all right, gentlemen? Can I ask you some questions from the audience?
If they're yes or no questions. That will be the answer to the first question is yes.
Yes.
I just want to say that Jimmy Dore originally interviewed me about this FBI raid, and that's the one that led to the whole kerfuffle with them. But do the questions.
Okay, well, one of the questions is related to that. First question goes to...
The third question.
Vermin Supreme. Vermin, is Vermin's zombie turbine energy plan still on schedule?
Yes. Yes.
Second question to Vermin Supreme. Did you make the Libertarian Party look ridiculous, or did they themselves make themselves look ridiculous?
Yes.
Question to Rod. How did that ordeal happen with Jimmy Dore, where you were calling him out on the Boogaloo Boys, and why wouldn't he post it to his channel?
That again goes back to 2016. After that first FBI raid at the RNC, Jeremy was at the DNC, which was 1 week after that, and he was interviewing people on the street per TYT, and I told him of the entire experience. I did not think to record it because, I'm not like that. I didn't really think anything of it. It's just, kind of too bad that I gave him this huge scoop to this person, who claims to be anti-state and anti-FBI and anti-authority. But I saw him at this this Tulsi Gabbard event at the 2020 campaign. And, he was nice enough to give me an interview, which ended up in the movie. I'd just send him a lot of links to things to correct him. Throughout the year. And that was one of the things when I saw him post about Magnus Panvidia. It's like, yeah, you're getting a couple of things wrong here. And so he said, well, hey, do you want to come on to talk about it? And I really need someone to help me with these people calling me a Nazi. I'm not a Nazi. How do I make that stop happen? Which was part of why I answered the way I did in the kind of the opening segment there. I'm saying, well, you need to talk shit about Tim Pool and Tucker Carlson. I mean, like, what a legend. In one election cycle, Jimmy Dore went from sucking Cenk Uygur's neoliberal dick to sucking Tucker Carlson's neo-Nazi dick. I'm like, I mean, there's all that stuff with, Blake Neff, who had met with Matthew Heimbach. And I mean, I can go on and on with the things that were fucking wrong that I was trying to get across to Jimmy in the DMs. He just didn't want to listen to me. And for whatever reason, he obviously got upset. And so you see that in the first minute or so, I come out pretty strong. But then I very quickly realized, oh, he's not going to air this unless I'm not going to get my access unless I play along with whatever his bullshit is. And so I feel as though the rest of the interview was a little bit lackluster. Come at me again, Jimmy. I'm happy to do this for real. And I'm happy to debate you, Tim Pool, or any of you motherfuckers.
Well, I guess the challenge has been set. A question to Vermin. Can you ask Vermin about his history and interest in Discordianism and how informed is his method?
Yes! Natural born Discordian. I did not come upon Discordian until relatively late in life, but obviously once I did find it, I think it was a I don't know. Somebody just asked me as a part of an interview or something if I was familiar with Discordia. I'd say no, but I have a feeling that my fans are. Some of my fans are. And then I found my Facebook Discordiant organizations. And definitely Discordiant, and read the Principia and all that good stuff. So, yeah, we're all popes, baby.
Nice. Can I give a big shout out to The Goat and The Goblin? Thank you for the raid. Twitch.tv/The Goat and The Goblin. They are both fans of both Rod and Vermin Supreme. So from The Goat and The Goblin, they say a big hello and a lot of respect for both of you. A question to Rod. Besides Vimeo, where can we find the movie and how are your films funded?
This Is Vermin Supreme is on Vimeo. The new movie, 2020 The Dumpster Fire, is on Apple TV, iTunes, Google Play. I'm quite the corporate chill here. Vudu, which I think is attached to people's TV sets somehow. YouTube Movies. And I think after this initial phase, maybe in a month, it might be on some other services. I'm told it'll be in Europe because I know there's European art being made. As to funding, for the most part, I've worked in the film and television industry, doing bullshit, whether it's filming or kind of like yourself. I've you make the rounds, doing the best you can, and I pay out of pocket.
Fair, fair. Question for Vermin. Is the boot on your head a right-footed boot or a left-foot boot?
Yes! It is. That is correct.
There you have it, everyone. The answer that no
correct,
one thought...
that statement is correct, 100%.
There you have it. And then I guess one of the last things I would ask both of you, my amazing guests, would be where can everyone find you? Where should they go? You've given so many different websites. Is there a main hub where everyone can just enjoy the fruits of your creations?
You know, no one uses websites anymore. Mine's terrible. Vermin's is terrible. You just go to Vermin Supreme on Twitter or Rod Weber on Twitter. I mean, at least from my standpoint, you know, we do have Dumpster Fire Film, but... Or just, you know what, go to Rotten Tomatoes. My producers and distributors say that we need more comments on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. Of course, verminstream.com. There's that, and the Facebook official, and the Twitter, and the TikTok. We talk about a lot. See Dumpster Fire, the film. It's an amazing film. It's a film that's going to knock your socks off, because you'll get to see Rod get his socks literally knocked off, and that's pretty incredible stuff.
Well, you know, I would also just say, you know, tell people to go, you know, to that FBI Twitter account and tell them to lay the fuck off. They've done 5 grand juries. This is the thing. Tim Pool and all these motherfuckers, they're bitching about this stuff day and night. But I'm the one that really bears the brunt of this. They say that lefties aren't attacked putting out the news. For doing my 2019 film, The Oppressed Majority, which was a renouncement of the straight pride people, I had my entire YouTube channel deleted. After 5 months of Vermin's people petitioning to get it back, I have it back, but it's basically shadow banned. So these right wingers talk about how hard big tech and Silicon Valley is to them. Fuck all that. And this is partly why I made the decision, to work with the distribution company, because my stuff keeps getting taken down. I don't know. All I got to say is fuck those guys. It's FBI, God damn it, going after Martin Luther King and now us. This is the thing. After the first grand jury in Massachusetts, the U.S. attorney there actually kicked it out. The assistant U.S. attorney, I should say, the prosecutor, kicked it out because the case was utterly bogus. This is one thing I didn't really answer there, is after January 6th, they went after us, me and my wife, Lauren Pespisa, and the Dumpster Fire crew, basically accusing me of a plot to assassinate Donald Trump, which is just fucking utter horseshit on every fucking level. To them accusing me of having a bomb with the Capitol Police in 2016. It goes on and on. But it got thrown out because it was utter fucking bullshit. They went shopping for more prosecutors and found one in Maine. One of the things that I'd like to send people to is sign our petition on change.org, occasionally we do revamp that, and you know, that's sent out to the various authorities in Maine, because we've had at least 5 grand juries have been convened that I know of. And the way that they operate these things is that they get people to go in there, they pinch them on a small witnesses on a small charge, and then give them an immunity deal to lie about you. And even one of the people that was involved in this had confessed to me afterwards, and I can prove this, unequivocally, that the prosecutor used this person to lie about us in order to get these grand juries to keep going and going and going. And this is under the umbrella of January 6th. The FBI said point blank to me that they came because the Proud Boys said that our film trailer, 2020, The Dumpster Fire, was proof of this so-called assassination attempt. And it's utter fucking horseshit to anyone who gives a fuck about the First Amendment, which I know you don't have in Canada. For those American viewers over here, this should be very concerning. The fact that, Jimmy Dore could have been talking about this and decided to go on about the Boogaloo Boys and whatever his, his bullshit mask shit is of the day, is, fuck that guy too.
Yeah, that is fine. Anyhow. All right, well, I'll end with this message from Hagbard Selene to you both. And the message is, by the power vested in me by the goddess Eris, I, Albacoys, Isimus, Hagbard Selene, name both Vermin and Rod, living saints of Discord, hail Eris, and all hail Discordia. I'm not entirely sure what that all means, but I assumed both of you would know.
I like it.
Agreed. Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining. That was amazing hearing your stories and learning more about the wonderful world of The Dumpster Fire 2020. Go check the movie out, everyone. Right. Go buy it. Go buy other things. Go buy the pipes. Buy the shirts. Buy the movie. Buy the books. And buy the tasteful pony erotica that Vermin didn't toast the VOD with this time.
Absolutely. next time, perhaps. But thank you very much for having us. It's been a lot of fun. It's always hard to knit together like a couple dozen years into a short amount of time for context to make it all make sense. It's just crazy. So thank you.
Yes. Bye, guys. Thanks for having us.
Ooh, that was a blast. That was the one and only Vermin Supreme of Vermin Supreme Pillows and Rod Weber of 2020 The Dumpster Fire, the movie that every one of you is going to you all want to go watch it now, right? Because it sounds like it's a good movie with comedy and movies and things like that. So you've just been listening to an episode of The Surf Times, and if you enjoy it and want to see The Surf Times, you can go to wearesurfs.com or watch the live shows at thesurfs.tv. And also everywhere social media is sold, basically thesurfs.tv, you'll find us there, twitter.com/thesurfstv, for example. It would also help us out tremendously if you could leave a good review of this podcast if you enjoyed it, either on, I don't know, iTunes or wherever you're podcasting. Apparently it does help, and yeah, we hope to see you soon.
To our gods, Xander Corvus and Peyton L. Just, we beseech thee to smite down our enemies. To our monarch, Tom Spiker, we are but your humble court jesters, here to amuse you. To our lords, Trevor R., we give thanks for this spit of land for us to eke out this meager existence. To our knights, Merid, Cheryl Alvarez, Ruby Kelly, Ellie Leslie, Alex P., Brandon, Words Greenwood, Nate, that one guy, Hagbird Selene, Matthew Scarborough, Stellar Vision, Ariane McCarthy, Daniel Sutton, Coulter Smith, Val 9000, Jenna Tall, Quiet 185, Anna Loves Riley, Omni, Riley and Anna, Poodle Hawk, The Tim Caucus, Multi Mondi, Trevor Yanis, Lemmy 101, Anthropofojack, Saren 42, Catherine, Radical Maniac, Ramon Acosta, Nkosin, Violent Orchard, Sophie Baby, Political Puppy, Andreas Chiringuito, Zach Christensen, Josh Mickelson, Todd Buckingham, and Todd Lajeunesse. We raise our flag in a veil, and we salute you, our friends.
Looking to get the most out of your money, time, and even better, your points and miles? I'm Chris Hutchins. I'm a lifelong optimizer, and I've sold 2 companies, racked up millions of points, and traveled the world to over 60 countries almost always for free. And I host All the Hacks, an award-winning podcast trusted by more than 1 million listeners that turns big ideas into quick tactical moves you can start using today to upgrade your life, money, and travel. Recent episodes have covered how to book business class seats for economy prices, how to make an easy $3,000 a month from online deals, and tiny habits that you can use to buy back hours of your time each week. There's no fluff in the show. It's just proven playbooks to travel better, spend smarter, and design a life you're excited about. So search All the Hacks, that's All the Hacks, in your podcast app, hit follow, and start upgrading your life today.